The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Room for Improvement.
And they're off at Rockingham, 0-1.5. No scratches at Tropical. At Maryland in the fourth, Headley is the boy on Losing Guy, number 6. Rockingham at quarter, it's Dark Cloud, Miss Me, and Honey Boy.
Hello, Mr. Keller. Sorry I kept you waiting.
That's all right, Harry. I just helped myself to your magazines and scotch.
Good.
How'd they do in the third?
They're just running it now. Oh. Honey Boy got a call.
Oh.
Mr. Keller, this here is Shorty Beeman. Shorty, this is the gent I've been telling you about.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Keller. You say something about scotch?
I did, Mr. Beeman. I'd be delighted if you'd join me.
You wouldn't be delighted, and he's not joining you, and you can save the executive approach. It's wasted on Shorty.
All right, I'll save it for my legitimate customers. Mr. Beeman, you understand what we're going to do?
Call him Shorty, huh?
You understand, Shorty?
I understand. I'm going to get 500 clams out of it.
Shorty?
He asked. I understand. I told him.
Shorty, what kind of home?
Huh?
Your house. What's it worth?
35, maybe 40,000.
He's not trying to buy, Shorty.
10,005.
All right. Now, what do you do?
Well, tomorrow sometime, I come to your company.
What's the name, Shorty?
The name? Oh, I got that card here in my pocket. Something.
Never mind. It's the Mid-State Home Improvement Incorporated.
I remember now. I come there, ask the girl for the present.
For me, Shorty, Mr. Keller. Then?
Then I make out papers for an improvement loan on my house.
That's right. Improvement on what?
My wife's bedroom.
And?
And a new playroom and a cellar for the kids.
Oh, you have a family.
No, he hasn't no family and no wife neither. Makes a difference?
No difference, Harry.
Okay, Shorty, that's all for now. Mr. Keller, we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. So long, Harry. Goodbye, Mr. Keller. It's a real pleasure to do business.
Sure thing, Shorty. Be at my office any time between 9:30 and 5. I'll be waiting.
I'll be there. Bye.
Harry, where do you get them?
I'm sorry, Jim. Only the better class clientele don't owe me IOUs.
I'm not better class clientele.
Present company not included.
Oh.
But don't worry about Shorty Beeman. He's okay.
I'm not worried. He's perfect. Can't thank you enough, Harry.
Nothing to thank. You owe me a pile. My way to insure it, that's all.
Harry?
Yeah?
You didn't tell him the size of the loan I'm getting for him from Uncle Sam.
What for? He'll just get the check, sign it, pass it over to you for 500 bills. What's the trouble?
No trouble. I was just thinking. A respectable man with a big family like that. His home may need more improvements than I originally thought.
You got your nerve, I'll give you that.
You have to have nerve when you're in the hole as deep as I am. You're taking my bet on the fight tonight, aren't you?
You name it.
The usual. 5,000 on young Sullivan.
That's a lot of dough to risk on an in-and-outer.
What's the difference? A sweet setup like this, you got to win one way or the other. Just keep feeding me cooperative customers, Harry, and there's no telling where this can go.
In the summer of 1953, a clever new kickback racket had its origin in the fraudulent operation of a firm calling itself Mid-State Home Improvement Incorporated. This operation was especially geared to defraud the government through false applications obtained from homeowners for FHA Title I loans. When the Bureau was initially called in, we found little to go on. But as our preliminary investigation mushroomed, it focused on four individuals. James Keller, president of the Mid-State Company, a bookmaker named Harry Nemo, Keller's teenage daughter, Mary Frances, and a particularly ambitious young salesman of the firm named Eddie Norris.
You like it, Miss Keller?
Oh, it's gorgeous. Just fabulous, Mr. Norris, but I...
But what?
But I can't accept them.
Why can't you?
Well, I just... can't, that's all.
You afraid your father wouldn't approve?
Mr. Norris.
Now, the name is Eddie. Only a couple of earrings, you know. I think they look nice on you. I think anything would look nice on you, Miss Keller.
I think...
yeah?
Nothing.
You think what? What, Miss Keller?
I think they'd look nice, too, Mr. Norris.
Eddie.
Eddie.
Well, then, how about a little...
Oh, please don't. Someone might... Well, I shouldn't be here in the office to begin with.
Oh, what's the difference? Nobody's... You want me to have your father phone you, Miss Keller?
Oh, hello, Daddy.
Well, hello, Mary. I didn't expect to see you here, dear.
Well, I guess phoning won't be necessary now, Mr. Norris. Well, I know you didn't, Daddy, but I thought I'd take a chance and find you in. I was shopping downtown.
Well, I'm glad I got back here in time. Sit down, honey, sit down. Norris, you'll excuse us.
Sure, Miss Keller.
Oh, no, don't let me interrupt, please. I'm late already.
Oh, you don't have to rush off right away.
Uh-huh. I'm meeting Mother at the beauty parlor at 1 exactly, and you know her. I'd better be on time.
All right. You run along. Oh, what are those?
Hmm?
The earrings.
Oh,
they're nice, aren't they, sir? Your daughter was showing to me while we were waiting for you. It's one of the items she bought downtown.
Very nice. Probably took all your allowance, hmm?
Yes. But I figure maybe I can swindle you into giving me some more.
Well, knowing you, young lady, I wouldn't bet the other way.
Well, I've got to scoot. Bye, Daddy.
Bye, sweet.
Goodbye, Mr. Norris. Thanks a lot for taking care of me.
Well, the pleasure was all mine, Miss Keller. Call on me anytime.
All right. Maybe I will. Bye now.
Bye, darling.
That's a fine daughter you have there, Mr. Keller.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was about to check my mail when she dropped by.
Norris...
Sir?
Never mind the mail. I want to talk to you.
Sure, Mr. Keller.
What about? I think you know what about.
Now, my sales record isn't slipping, is it?
Don't play smart aleck with me, Norris.
Smart aleck? Well, now, I certainly didn't mean to do that. I've got nothing but the greatest respect for you, Mr. Keller. But if my sales...
This has nothing to do with sales, and you know it. I made it very clear the other day, Norris, that you were to stay away from Mary.
Oh, now, look, I didn't ask her to come here to the office.
All right, save it.
Mr. Keller, I was only being polite... You weren't around?
One of the other men could have seen to her.
Well, the rest of the fellows were busy or out on call.
What about Larson?
I don't think an attractive girl like Miss Keller would have much in common with a stuffed shirt like Larson.
She would with you, though, hmm?
Well?
I've got a flash for you, Norris. You're in the same league with Larson.
Well, why don't you tell that to her?
Now, look. She's just a kid, impressed with an old man of 26. One year from now, she wouldn't look at you. Norris, I'm going to be frank with you.
You're pretty good already.
I don't like to let anything personal interfere with my business. If you weren't one of the best men in my office, you'd be through now.
Thank you for the kind words. Is that all?
Stay away from my daughter, Norris. I'm telling you for the last time.
Yes, sir.
If I find you together again, I'll let something personal interfere, like it or not. That's fair warning.
Okay, I'm warned. Is that all, Mr. Keller?
Yes, Norris. That's all.
Federal Housing Administration. Mr. Halleck. Oh, just a moment, please. Yes, sir?
I have an appointment with Mr. Halleck, miss. Agent Stevens, Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Yes, sir. He's with me now. Came in just as you phoned. All right, I'll do that. Right. Thank you very much. I'll be in touch with you. Sorry, Steve. How are you? Sit down. Sit down, please.
Thanks.
That was Mr. Andrews on the phone just then.
Anything special about this?
No, just to tell you to continue working with us.
Only probably not quite so polite.
Well, he did add you weren't to show up back at the bureau until this thing is licked.
That's more like it.
How about it, Steve? Is it going to be?
Licked?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, Tom. Of course, I've only had time for a preliminary once-over, but off the record, I'd say your suspicions of the James Keller organization are well-founded.
They are.
Off the record. There's hardly enough to go on yet, but there's definitely more behind the Keller setup than meets the eye.
Yes, I was sure there would be. The field man who first reported on Keller is one of our most reliable people.
Did he have any idea on how Keller might be operating?
No, he didn't. I'll qualify that. He did, but it was so vague and unchecked, and I didn't want any speculative ideas to prejudice your investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You have an idea?
Yes, but it may be just as speculative as your field man's.
Want to tell me about it?
By all means.
Good. You don't object to my having a stenographer make a transcript?
Certainly not.
Miss Allen, would you step in here a moment, please? I told Mr. Andrews I'd send him copies of anything we put down.
Of course. As I say, it's only an idea. I'll know more after an audit of James Keller's books.
Oh, his books? They may not be too easy to get hold of.
I'll leave that to me.
Okay, I will.
I'll get hold of his books, all right. Don't worry.
I bet you will at that. And once you do, I have an idea that you're going to uncover plenty.
I hope so, if there's plenty to uncover.
Well, of course, our field man reported his suspicions on one particular loan. It may be narrowed down to just that one.
I doubt it, Tom. We found out one thing in our investigations that's almost a rule. If a man chisels successfully on a single operation, it's a virtual guarantee he'll be trying it again on others.
Well, good morning, Mr. Keller.
Good afternoon, Mr. Norris. You know what time it is?
Yes, I know. I had some personal business to attend to. Sorry, but it was very necessary. Take it off my next commission.
I'm getting awful fed up with you, Norris.
Are you really?
It's almost 12 o'clock. I wanted to get away early for the weekend. Where have you been that was so necessary?
Around. It was such a nice day, it seemed a shame to work, so I dropped over to see a couple of customers. Any messages come in for me?
Customers?
Mm-hmm. At Mrs. Steiner, Mr. Gotti, and Shorty Beeman. No messages, huh?
What were you doing seeing those customers, Norris?
Well, that's a question.
They're not your territory. Who asked you to see him?
Nobody. I just wanted to be on the ball, maybe get a promotion. After all, you said I was in Larson's league, so maybe there's room for improvement.
Norris, I asked you a question.
Mr. Keller, don't put your hands on me.
What were you doing seeing those customers?
Mr. Keller,
answer me.
I'll answer you in a way you won't like if you don't let go of me.
All right. What?
I was trying to see if my hunch about kickbacks was right.
Kickbacks?
Mm-hmm. It's a hunch I've been working on ever since I found out how much you've been dropping in the fights and the ponies.
What are you talking about?
Do you want figures? 5,000 dropped on young Sullivan. 2,000 dropped...
Who told you about that?
I got friends, Mr. Keller, the secretary kind. You'd be surprised what they'd do for me.
So my smart aleck salesman decided to get nosy,
mm-hmm.
Huh? And?
And I know the whole phony setup, over 200,000 worth.
I see. What are you going to do about it, Norris?
Well, I could go to the police, I suppose.
Yeah, but you wouldn't.
Or I could hold you up for a nice wad of moolah, say about, 50,000 for a start.
Yeah, that's more your speed.
You think so?
You won't get a dime from me, Norris, not one dime.
I don't want money, Mr. Kelly. You got me all wrong.
Come off it.
I don't. Why should I? After all, if it's all in the family...
What?
I won't need money. And I certainly don't want to be the one that slaps papa-in-law in the pokey.
No,
I only want one thing, Mr. Keller, and I'm going to get it. I'll be a good son to you. You can count on that.
You know something? You're out of your head.
Am I?
Completely out. If you could think for one second that I'd allow my daughter to marry you...
Oh, I could, Mr. Keller. And unless you're dumber than I think, so could you.
Stop talking like a fool.
It's either marry Mary and me, or it's you in 20 years up the river.
You can't mean that, Norris. Even a cheapster like you...
I wouldn't call names if I were you.
Now, look here, Norris.
You look! I am giving you until Monday to make up your mind. You'll see how much I mean it. All right, I'm here. I'll take over the office for you. You said you wanted to get away early for the weekend, didn't you?
I'll get it, Mother. Hello?
Hello, Mary. Eddie Norris calling.
Oh, hello, Eddie. One moment, I'll get my father.
No, don't bother. I didn't call to speak with him.
Oh, Eddie...
I called to see where you're going away for the weekend, because you're still going to be in town.
Eddie, you shouldn't call me here. I told you.
Yeah, I know. Everybody tells me. Only I got a long-time habit making up my own mind. You're not going away for the weekend, huh?
Well, no. Something came up that changed Daddy's plans. Eddie, I can't talk to you anymore, really.
All right, we'll save it for tonight.
Huh?
Plenty of time to talk over dinner, maybe a cocktail or two in front of it. I'll come by with the car around 6.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eddie. I don't think...
What's the matter? You want to have dinner with me, don't you? Well, don't you?
Well, yes. Maybe I do, but
well, and that's all there is to it, Dad. Around 6, Mary. I'll come by with the car.
Going out, Mary?
Huh? Oh... Hello, Daddy. I didn't know you were still home.
I couldn't put this book down till I finished it. You know me and mysteries, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, I told Mother to go ahead. I'd meet her at the club. You're not eating with us, hmm?
Well, not tonight. Well, Millicent asked me to join her, so... Oh, I'm late, dear. I have to run. Bye.
Mary.
Yes?
Aren't you dressed up kind of elegant for Millicent?
Well,
I mean, an old friend like her...
Say, what is this? Questions and answers?
No, of course not.
Well, I really do have to run, Daddy.
Mary... You're having dinner with Eddie Norris, aren't you?
What?
You've never lied to me, dear. Is there any reason to start now?
Well, what if I am having dinner with him?
Oh, Mary.
What if I am?
I think you know what.
No, I'm not sure I do. Is it that I didn't get written permission from you and Mother? Or because Eddie works for you? Or that he's just not on our high social level? Maybe that's
okay,
it.
Okay,
okay. Well, what? I'd really like to know. If I'm supposed to be a snob, well, tell me. If I'm supposed to stay a two-year-old the rest of my life, just tell me, that's all.
Mary.
Oh, all right. But I do think I'm old enough to know what I'm doing.
Maybe. But I'm still going to forbid you to see Eddie Norris.
Forbid me?
Oh, I don't like the idea, believe me. I've never interfered before. I've always let you have your own way in your own affairs. But this is one time I have to insist on mine. I'm sorry, Mary.
I'm sorry, too.
What?
Because I'm going to have dinner with Eddie, whether you say so or not. I'm going to see him, say so or not.
Mary?
I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm old enough to know what I'm doing.
Mary!
Speaking.
Harry, Jim Keller, I have to see you. Wait for me, I'll be over.
Jim, I'm all closed up. If you want to place a bet...
You wait for me, Harry. This isn't any bet. I have to see you right away.
All right, okay. Only how did he find out?
Always kind of always find out. Girls, one of the secretaries.
And it's wedding bells or else.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't bluff him out of
it. Well, of course I couldn't. If I could, do you think I'd be talking to you like this?
Relax, will you?
Sure. Any other funny advice?
Maybe. You're not going to let your daughter marry the creep, are you?
What do you think?
I'm asking, that's all.
Over my dead body, I'll let him.
Or his.
Huh?
You're in a spot, Jim, you know that.
What do you mean, over his?
Also, I'm in a spot. You owe me a wad of coin. If that boy opens up his yap, my chances for collecting will be zero.
Harry.
We got to shut him up the way I see it. We got to shut him up and fast.
Brilliant suggestion.
I think so.
And just how do we shut him up?
Depends.
On what?
On have you got guts?
Harry, I don't intend to spend the rest of my life behind bars other than the drinking kind.
How far don't you intend?
As far as you don't.
So then we got no worry. We can get the character over here?
No, sure. Why?
He owes me a gambling debt and can't pay off. He's afraid you'll find out he's been pulling a loan swindle behind your back.
What?
A loan swindle. That way we kill what they call two birds with one stone. All suspicion against you and Eddie Norris.
I don't get you, Harry.
You get, I just asked if you got guts.
Yeah, so?
So, have you got guts enough to let the sleazy character take the easy way out through the window?
Harry...
I don't like it any more than you do, but what can we do?
No. We can't do anything like that.
You said you didn't want to spend the rest of your life behind
bars. Forget it, Harry. It's too cold-blooded.
All right, then you'll just have to face the music. Wedding bells or the prisoner
song?
There
must be some other way.
There is, and I just gave it to you. Eddie Norris or you, Jim. His body or yours. And from what you told me, you haven't got time to waste.
No, Harry.
His body or yours, it's up to you, Jim. Which will it be?
I don't know. I'll have to think it over, Harry. I just don't know.
Mid-State Home Improvement Incorporated. Mr. Keller speaking.
Mr. Keller, my name is Stevens. I wonder if I might drop over for a few minutes. I'm from the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
If you'll have a seat in here, Mr. Stevens, I think you'll be comfortable.
Thanks. Don't put yourself out any, Mr. Keller.
A pleasure, believe me, sir. You'll find cigars and cigarettes handy. I won't be a moment.
Take your time. There's no special rush.
Only a moment. Harry, it's me, Jim Keller.
Yeah, Jim. Have you thought over what we talked about?
I have, Harry. I've thought it over real careful.
And
I thought the answer was still no, only something's just come up to change my mind.
What something?
Doesn't matter, does it?
As long as it changed your mind.
It has, Harry. The sooner we get it over with, the better.
Better lay off that stuff. You've had enough.
Harry, I just don't like this. Maybe we're making a mistake.
What?
Well, maybe we are.
I thought that visit from the Federals changed your mind.
It did, but maybe we're jumping too quick. It could have been just a routine call, like they said.
Oh, sure, routine. Those boys got nothing better to do.
Harry, I've...
Now, listen to me, Jim. Stop shaking and listen good. Those Federals showing up wasn't any coincidence, and it wasn't any routine. That Norris skunk is just showing you he means business. Did you fix it for him to come over here?
I still don't like it.
I didn't ask if you liked it. Seeing you stay out of a courtroom is my only insurance for the pile you owe me. So like it or not, I'm seeing. Did you fix it for the character to come over here?
Yes.
To give him your decision, one way or the other.
Listen, Harry, there must be some other
there
way.
There isn't. Now put that glass down. I'm tired of hearing the ice shake. Can you talk to him over there near the window?
Harry, maybe if we just warned
him. Don't be a 10-year-old, Jim. Nobody will ever know different. He broke down, confessed, then made a break for the window, yelling no Federals was ever going to lock him up. We tried to stop him, but we couldn't. It's the only way out.
Well, I know, Harry, but...
He asked for this, didn't he? Nobody told him to hold a knife in your belly. You said you had guts. You made up your mind. Now stay with it.
All right, but...
But nothing. Stay with it. And if you have to use that
but
gun...
Hold it.
Huh?
He's coming.
Okay. If you lose your nerve now...
Harry, all I'm saying...
Shut up. Shut up.
Guy here to see Mr. Keller, Harry.
Okay, Joe. Thanks.
In there, mister.
Mm-hmm. Hi, boss. Now, this is where you squander the company funds, huh?
Norris, this is Mr. Harry Nemo.
Hello, Nemo.
Yeah.
Well, your missus said you'd give me a decision, boss. Okay, give.
Well,
Don't buy no cutaway suit, Junior. You won't need it.
Hmm?
You won't need it.
Oh? That the way you feel, boss?
I'll tell you what he feels, the same as I feel, that you're the rottenest little conniving water rat this side the water.
What are you supposed to be, Nemo, a funny man?
Why, you little...
Harry.
I don't like this two-bit. I don't like him. Now, tell him. Go on, tell him.
Tell me what?
Harry, listen a minute.
Jim!
Well, I'm sorry. I can't commit murder, that's all.
Murder?
Okay. I'll take care of it myself.
Come here, too.
You need a little fresh air.
Let go of me. Get your hands off
sure
me.
Sure, I'll let go of you. Don't worry. I'll let go of you in just a second.
Harry, let go of him now.
Stay out of this, you.
Let go of him, Harry. Let go or I'll shoot.
What?
Harry, let him go.
Harry.
Mr. Keller.
Harry. I didn't mean to shoot it. It just went off.
You gutless louse. It'd have been better for you if you'd killed me.
Harry.
You were worried about what Two-Bit was going to spell, huh? Well, just wait till you hear what Harry needed.
Harry, what happened? It sounded like a... Harry.
Okay. Don't stand there. It sounded and it was. Jim Keller took a shot at me. Don't stand there. Go ahead. Call the cops.
Harry Nemo became a willing witness for the prosecution, exposing the whole corrupt story of James Keller's business practice, and a grand jury quickly returned an indictment. Keller subsequently was tried and convicted and sentenced to a 10-year term in the penitentiary at Lewisburg. Although his sentence was lessened in consideration of his cooperation with the prosecution, Nemo himself was given a 5-year term. A byproduct of the trial was the revelation of the true character of Eddie Norris, finally convincing even Keller's daughter that there was ample room for improvement.
This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.